What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
School of Humans.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Cadaver Gals, the super happy and uplifting podcast where we talk about the ways that people have died throughout history to cope with our own mortality. I'm your host, Taylor, along with Gabby and Nika. Make your voices known, ladies.
Yeehaw.
And an ah. Great.
We're alive somehow. Here we are.
That's good. That's great. Okay, so today we're going to hear about how torpedoes led to human shark bait and how you could really be afraid of fairies. I said fairies. That's right. Trigger warnings for this episode include, but are not limited to, explosions, shark attacks, dehydration, smoke inhalation, suicide, and murder. Wow.
Also,
it's going to be a very uplifting episode.
You have to add fairies to that.
And fairies, if those are triggers for you.
Like the creature.
Yes, the creature fairies. Cue upbeat cadaver theme music to trick people to stay.
Yay!
Cadaver Gals!
All right. Well, as we approach the ocean swimming season, I think as it's officially called, it's important to know all of the risk factors in that. So, Gabby, would you like to tell us your beautifully uplifting tale?
Yeah, I don't know if this is going to be like a risk if you are swimming, but this is a risk if you are delivering atomic bombs to islands near Japan and you're on a big ship in the
Navy.
That's
literally like my summer plans.
Yeah, like
this is your war risk.
Yeah, this
is at sea war risk.
But also if this is your summer plan, I think this story is the story for you. But so basically what had happened is I feel really stupid because we all work at like a television production company, but there's so many movies that I haven't actually seen. So I finally watched Jaws for the first time like 2 weeks ago. Thank you. Look at me.
What was your favorite part? Was it the score?
I mean, I definitely liked when they had to cut up the one shark. That was kind of fun. Or actually, ooh. I did scream where there's a part where they go out to a boat to see, to like check it out, and then there's like a dead body floating by it, and I did scream. I didn't expect that to happen. But there is a really good, they have like a really good speech kind of in like the end of the second act of the movie where there's this dude who is a boating guy, and he's just like super stereotypical, like, yes, I go out in the seas and fight the sharks or whatever. But it is revealed that he was on board the USS Indianapolis. And the reason I bring it up is because apparently that actually all happened, like the way he described it. Basically, he's like, yeah, we were hit by Japanese torpedoes, and then the ship sank, and then a lot of us were eaten by sharks. And it's like, oh, that actually happened 100% in real life. Ooh. So this is the story of that. So let's go back in time to 1945. You know, World War II is a happening. You know, the Europeans, the Germans, they had surrendered in May. But then we still had to deal with the Japanese and the sort of the Pacific Oceanic part of the war. Woohoo, wartime, right? Isn't it fun?
Exciting stuff.
Everyone knows war is better when there's water.
Yeah, water wars, baby. But so on July 16th, 1945, at a San Francisco dock, there is a bunch of Navy and Marine people who are on board the USS Indianapolis. And there's this one Marine, Ed Harold, and he was stationed to just be like a guard on board the boat. And so they're loading up some stuff in San Francisco before they set sail across the ocean. And suddenly he sees this huge crate drive up on this truck. And he's like, what the hell? He didn't say that, probably. He seems like a good boy. But he was like, what the heck is that crate?
Jeepers,
creepers. What is on that?
That's what they said then, right?
I mean, he wrote a whole book about it, so you can... I'm sorry, Ed. I'm sorry. But he saw the crate. He saw it getting loaded onto the boat, and he didn't know what it was, and he asked around. Like, nobody knew what it was. And then there was all these other people who got on board who they were dressed like Air Force people, but he later learned they were scientists, and they were also carrying this other big box. And apparently that box was filled with half of all the uranium that America owned at the time, because in that crate was Little Boy, which is the name of the atomic bomb that was dropped on Hiroshima. Yep.
What a dreadful name. Why would you name a bomb Little Boy?
And then the one that was dropped on Nagasaki was Fat Man. So,
right. Yeah.
Haha, aren't those
really hating on men and boys today?
Don't agree with fat shaming here. U.S. government, get it together.
I mean, it's not fat shaming to say this is the biggest bomb explosion that ever happened. You know, that's a fat bomb. That was a fat ass bomb. That is something you can say about the bombs. Anyway, terrible. Hundreds of thousands of people died. Ha 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 ha. Ah, okay. Anyway, so they're on the boat. They still don't know what their cargo is. And they get up after a few weeks, they get over to Tinian Island and they drop off the package of the bomb. And then they're going to say, here's your package of Little Boy.
Here's your Little Boy.
He is your little
boy you ordered. That's called sex trafficking.
Yeah, except
or bomb trafficking.
It's a bomb. Yeah. So it is trafficking, except... I guess they had permission to kill a bunch of people, so it wasn't trafficking.
As long as you have permission?
As long as you have permission.
Okay, fine if you have permission.
From other countries to kill a bunch of people, it's fine. This is a really incisive look at war here on Cadaver Gals. As we all know, it is the most scientific and historically accurate show there is out
there. I am not even going to blame myself, because in high school, our history teacher was also the PE coach, so... I really blame Coach Bellis.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like our health teacher was also our PE teacher, which makes more sense. But instead of like teaching us anything, we just watched Grey's Anatomy. And also,
oh, gosh.
Then we watched Donnie Darko to show us what mental illness is like. So
is that why
that
you're like
helpful.
That, Gabby?
Yes, that is why I'm like the Coach Nesbitt. Shout sense. Out to you. He's in several Usher music videos. So thank you. For teaching us about mental illness. So after they drop off Little Boy, they are then sailing to the Philippines. This is a big ass ship. It's got like 1,200 dudes on it. And Ed, our man who wrote the book about this incident, he was assigned to sort of watch the deck. It was at midnight, one of the nights a few days after they had set sail. And he got a little pallet, made himself a pallet on the deck, and was just going to go to sleep when suddenly around midnight... something hits the ship. And by something, I mean a torpedo, motherfucker. And you could feel the shit out of it. And it was like 30 feet from where Ed had was like trying to go to sleep, you know. So he obviously woke the fuck up. And then suddenly, boom, boom, another torpedo hits the boat. And they're like, oh, shit, this isn't good, because everything starts breaking. And the ship is basically breaking in half from these two torpedoes. They got hit by a Japanese submarine that had actually launched 6 torpedoes at them. But 2 of them hit, and it was making the boat sink really fast.
That's scary.
Yeah.
I don't ever want to be on a sinking ship.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, emotionally, I think we're all there, but yeah, on a literal one, no. Anyway, so boat basically breaks in half, and there's 1,200 people who are on board, and 300 people do not make it off the ship as the boat sank.
That's a lot.
That is a lot. So 300 people passed away that way. And then another big problem is that the fuel of the boat, it gets all over the place. So there's like oil. So basically they're falling into an ocean of oil. And
that's not good.
Yeah. And so then there's 900 of them. So imagine this. It is the middle of the night. It is hot as fuck. You're in a bunch of oil with 900 other dudes, and 300 people have just died, and you don't know what the fuck's happening, and you're in the literal middle of the ocean. Okay, so it's the middle of the night, but it's not until the next morning at daybreak when they saw the first sign of shark fins circling around them.
Dunna.
So they've been in the water for about 6 hours, and then they start seeing fucking sharks. You know, and they don't know what's going on. That's so scary. So scary.
That's so scary.
And so what the guys, what all the Marines and the Navy people were doing in the water is they were trying to get in like larger groups and sort of so that they could float together, because they were like, you know, floating out all across the ocean, basically. And also they were thinking in groups they might be safer, because they were seeing some of the people who had already died in the water, like their bodies were being dragged down by the sharks. But then there was also any straggler soldiers. You would just kind of like see them out in the water, and then suddenly you would hear like a blood-curdling scream, and they would disappear under the water because the sharks had started attacking.
That's so scary. You just don't know if you're next, and then you just, boop, dragged underwater and eaten.
Yeah, and by everybody, not everybody, but a lot of people were getting attacked by sharks. And so kind of like if you're at the edge of these groups, like Ed, our Marine guy, he was in a group of 80 people to start out with, and then they kept getting like plucked off like on the edges of the group.
That's so many people that are like still floating around.
Yeah, so there's 900 people, and like as the days, as the hours went on, more and more people were dying because of variety causes. One was the sharks, and there's just like some of the descriptions are just so harrowing, just because it's like, you know, you're there with these other people who are still like, everyone's like fighting to stay alive. But then, like, you're seeing people, like, disemboweled people, like, just a torso, and you're just, like, pushing people away from you because you don't want the blood to get near you so the sharks don't get attracted to it.
The PTSD that must have given these poor people. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, like, even when you see them sort of describing it, because, like, most of them are in their 90s or they've passed away, all the survivors from this, they still, like, get so terrified when they're sort of, like, you know, talking about it, obviously. And there was, like, this one description where, like, there's this one guy who a wave broke over them and like a dead body just like slammed right into them. And it was just like a disemboweled, like half eaten body. And then it was also like they didn't really have any food rations, obviously. I mean, they had some food rations, but there was this one moment where they had opened a can of Spam, but then that attracted the sharks to them.
Yeah.
So then they just like got rid of all of their rations for the most part, too. So it's kind of like they're starving. They're obviously super dehydrated, and there's these sharks attacking them.
It's also just like a hopeless situation, truly, because where do you go? You're in the middle of the ocean. Like, where are you going to swim? You don't even know what direction to go to, you know?
Yeah, and you're just also, you are literally swimming the whole time, because they had their life jackets, but, you know, they would deflate after a while. These Kapok jackets aren't meant to last for days.
For days, yeah. They don't last very long. I mean, they're for short term.
Yeah, and their distress signal, like, no one was really clear. Did it get sent out? Did it not? Like, they literally didn't know that if anybody knew where they were. And no one did. Like, no one knew where they were.
I mean, could you imagine the conversations? You're out there for hours and hours and hours and hours and hours, and you're like, and you're just sitting there wondering, I mean, are they trying to distract themselves?
I'm honestly surprised that people survived.
Like, I know.
That is amazing.
How did they get rescued?
Well, that's the thing is, I don't even think they would be having conversations because you are literally just trying to preserve all of your energy because you are treading water this whole time. And so you are exhausted, you're scared. And so Ed Harrell, who is the Marine, he was saying, you know, he started in a group of 80 men. By the third day, it was three.
Oh, my God.
Three men. And by the last day, it was just him and another guy, basically.
No.
This one group of 80. And for the most part, it's like, yeah, people are getting, there's obviously the horror of the sharks, but it's also like dehydration, obviously. And people were starting to drink the salt water. There was this one guy who said, you know, men began drinking the salt water so much that they were very delirious. In fact, a lot of them had weapons like knives, and they'd be so crazy that they'd be fighting amongst themselves and killing one another. And then there'd be others that drank so much salt water that they were seeing things, even though you don't hallucinate from salt water. You hallucinate from like being dehydrated. And they say things like, the Indy is down below and they're giving out fresh water and food is in the galley. And they'd swim down and a shark would get them and you would see the sharks eating your comrade.
This is horrific.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely horrific.
Yeah. And so there was, you know, the sharks, also people, even though it was like hot outside, people were still getting like hypothermia and dying. And Ed Harrell, he said this thing in his book. He has like a few quotes that he says again and again, but he said it's much easier to die than it is to live, because basically it was just like in that instance, you had to muster everything inside of you. And it's like he was really he described this one guy who was in the group of three. One of the guys basically died of exhaustion. But the way he described it, it really did seem like he died because of like hopelessness. Because unless you're like holding on to life, you know, it's just like.
That is so sad and depressing.
Yeah. So it is. Yeah. And so they're in the water for 4.5 days.
That is such a long time. I mean, I think about like some just like the longest days of just like being at work. Like those are some long days.
Yeah. And like the only fresh water they had is like on the second day, a cloud came over and it rained a little bit. So that was like all the fresh water that they had. And they had at one point there was like a sack of potatoes that like floated by or something. So they were able to eat like a raw potato, but they really didn't have anything. And so what happened then was on the fourth day, there just literally happenstance, a plane is flying overhead. It's the American Air Force flying overhead, basically looking out for Japanese submarines. And they see this sort of glistening in the ocean. They're like, oh, shit, that's probably a submarine. We should like scope it out and see what it is. But it just happened to be like the badges of one of the men who was in the water. And so literally it was pure luck that anyone found them.
Jeez.
And so they go with the plane that they had couldn't land on water. So they radioed back to headquarters. They sent out a plane within the hour. There was a technical problem with it, so it couldn't land for some reason. But the guy who was flying the plane was like, no, I have to save these people, because he could literally see people being eaten by sharks as he like approached. So he landed the plane. He got like 50 dudes on it. And then that's when they started doing the evacuation. But it was after 4.5 days. So 900 people went into the water and 300 people were rescued.
Wow, that's intense.
Yeah, and so it was estimated that anywhere, because I mean, they obviously can't tell. They're saying a few dozen to 150 people were killed by sharks. And there's just like this one stat that I saw that it was like people lost in 4 days, like 20 pounds just from like treading water and being exhausted. So it was 316 people survived. And this was the worst naval loss in U.S. history. It gets sadder, too. I mean, they survived.
No.
I mean, a lot of this, it's like, obviously, the shark deaths didn't make up the majority of the deaths. The majority was, like, dehydration or hypothermia or exhaustion.
Yeah, but you see one or two. That is, like, I mean, death is traumatizing. Like, seeing your friends and, like, people you work with die for any reason is awful. But to see them just, like, be so like helpless in a shark situation. Blech. I just can't.
Yeah. Yeah. So obviously there was like months long recovery for a bunch of people, mental trauma, probably never fully recovered.
Yeah.
But afterwards they were trying to figure out you know, they had to have someone to blame for what happened. And so what ended up happening was that the captain of the boat, Charles McVeigh, he survived. And so he was court-martialed for failing to maneuver the ship in zigzags. When you are in enemy waters, you're supposed to zigzag your ship because it makes it harder for torpedoes to hit you. So he was demoted, and it was a really controversial verdict. And after that happened, he also just got hate mail for years and years. And the captain ended up killing himself in 1968.
Oh my gosh. That it, all because of victim blaming.
Yeah, because it's like, I mean, yeah, should have zigzagged the ship. But the fucked up, the really fucked up thing about it is that it was found that the U.S., that U.S. intelligence actually knew that there were two Japanese submarines where the boat was. So like they
That's
knew.
So messed up.
And yet it was still commanded to go to the Philippines.
So it's really their fault if we're putting the blame on some, if we are forcing to put blame on this tragedy.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Yes. So that is the horror show that was the sinking of the USS Indianapolis. And it's sad as fuck.
Well, thank you, Gabby. We're going to, you know, take a quick breather. But when you come back, we'll talk about more reasons why you should be afraid of the ocean.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
With the best all-inclusive vacation deals to Mexico and the Caribbean, booking your getaway with Cheap Caribbean Vacations means you have more freedom to do your deal. Whether you want to enjoy snorkeling, endless margaritas and more, or simply soak up the sun and sand in a tropical paradise, Cheap Caribbean Vacations has your deal for that. Plan and book the exact getaway you want at exactly the right price for you by using our exclusive budget beach finder, or find a featured all-inclusive package to Generations Riviera Maya Resort and do your deal at cheapcaribbean.com.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Alrighty, welcome back. So, question. When you guys are, when you guys are at the beach, do you get in the ocean? I know this answer, actually.
Yeah, of course. You know me and my jellyfish experience when we went to the beach together?
Yes, 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 yes. Do you ever worry about getting eaten by a shark? Because
All
I think
time.
About that every single time
All
I put my little toes in. Gabby?
I don't know if I worry about it that much, but now I am.
Great. Well, it's not super, it's not like you have a higher chance of getting like of dying from like a spider bite, which is my biggest fear, or, you know, the hippopotamus, which is what they always talk about.
Who's talking about hippo deaths?
Oh my gosh, hippos kill a lot of people.
No, I know, they're massive. I want to ride one.
But probably not.
That's not a great idea.
Probably not.
Not recommended.
It's like a low risk in Atlanta, Georgia. You know, I don't, there's not many rogue hippos around these parts.
So if you are one of those daredevils that goes in the ocean, I thought I'd tell you about some of the dangerous sharks out there because I, you know, really love animals and I want to talk about sharks.
Can you give us safety tips as well or no?
Of course. But I first want to talk about some of the most dangerous. Well, actually, do you want to guess how many shark breeds there are? Because it's like way more than I thought.
6,000.
32.
Okay, there's somewhere between the two.
Okay, 36.
No, way more than that, actually.
500. Just say it, Taylor.
Okay, 375. And of that 375, only 12 are considered to be dangerous to humans. So that's the good news.
That's great, yeah.
Yeah. So first and foremost, we have to worry about Jaws himself, aka the great white shark. They are the big daddies coming in at a whopping 11 to 24 feet. So that's like more than 4 Nika lengths long.
Thank you. I am in the metric system.
You are now in our metric system. So if you see that big shark, like you need to just get the fork out of there, right? Those are really scary. They're really big. You can't miss them. And then you also, there's the tiger shark, which is the next shark you should be afraid of. That's about 3-ish Nikas long. So like 13 to 16 feet.
Well, that was one of the ones because they had guessed 2 different breeds of sharks that had been attacking the people in the water. And the tiger shark was one of them.
Yes. Those are also incredibly scary. And then you have to worry, after the tiger shark, you also have to be worried about the bull shark, which, scary fact about these boys and girls, they can survive in fresh water for a little bit, so they can be found traveling through rivers. So, you know, be looking out for those river sharks.
Oh, next
time you're in a river.
I will say I would rather swim in the ocean than in a river. Rivers just feel kind of forbidden for me.
I feel like, yeah, I feel like parasites live in rivers, which is a little bit scarier to me, which I'm sure there are. But
bull sharks live there too, so who knows?
You just can't swim anywhere because the flesh-eating disease is in the hot tubs and the pools, so where are we going to swim now?
You know, there's nowhere safe for you to swim. And then you also have the worry of drowning too.
Oh, I forgot about drowning. Thank you.
Yeah, you're never safe in water. So other sharks to be afraid of are the oceanic white-tip shark, which obviously, they have a little white tip on their dorsal fin, which I'm less stressed about these because they like the medium deep waters, which I'm not getting in super, super deep. That being said, Jacques Cousteau is quoted saying that they're the most dangerous of them all. So don't listen to me. Jacques Cousteau knows way more than me about this sort of thing.
Is he a singer? I'm kidding.
Well, that was the other shark that they were thinking was attacking the dudes in the water, too. So it was the oceanic white tip and the tiger shark. So,
yeah, those are definitely top 5 scary sharks that you don't want to mess
boys.
With.
Hungry big daddies.
Oh, yeah. The next one is the blue shark, which I actually think is the cutest of the sharks. They're like long and skinny with big old black eyes. And they like have this super long, skinny kind of nose. Super cute. Then you have the short fin mako, which they're kind of derpy looking, but they're really fast. So they can swim at like 45 miles per hour. So you're pretty much can't outswim that one.
I hope the mako gets you because you just called it derpy.
He's so cute. He's cute too, but he's a little bit derpy.
I am just imagining Taylor getting attacked by a shark being like, oh, it's so cute. Look at
this. Just take him open arms.
I mean, no, I would be very scared. So then there's the black tip shark, which again, you guessed it, black tips on their fins, but I'm going to say that they're like the second cutest, just if we're playing on that. And then the hammerhead shark, which you don't want to be swimming
such
at
a
night.
Dummy.
Yeah. Wasn't that one of the ones too, Gabby? The hammerhead?
No, I think it was just the tiger shark.
These guys like to hunt at night.
Well, I don't think it was hammerheads, because it wasn't hammer time.
Right. The hammerhead was in Hammer Time wasn't invented back then, so it wasn't the hammerhead. Yeah. Right. The hammerhead was in that movie about that missing child. Fish child.
Nemo?
Oh, Nemo?
Yes.
Finding Nemo?
So it was one of them was a hammerhead, one of them was a great white shark, and then I don't know
skinny.
What the other one was.
He was like skinny and long.
That could have been one of my cute guys. I'm going to say
Taylor,
the blue shark.
Taylor, how do I protect myself?
Don't you worry.
I mean, you should be worried if you're getting attacked by a shark.
Well, first things first, if you don't want to get attacked by a shark, it is just not even recommended that you get in the water.
So okay,
well, great advice,
Step
Taylor.
One.
Don't be in the water.
You're welcome.
They can't walk.
Step one, don't get in. Exactly. Step two, don't dress like a seal. So, like, don't wear a dark wetsuit because they can mistake you for a seal. These are just the safety precautions.
That's so stupid. I'm just like getting in the water dressed up as a seal.
You know, just a dark wetsuit.
Furries everywhere looks... are so upset.
So wear like a neon suit.
Yes. But nothing sparkly because that could be misconstrued as bait. Another thing is don't be swimming where people are fishing. And that is like one of my biggest pet peeves. I cannot stand those people who fish on a beach where there's people swimming. They're literally luring in these sharks. And not only that, if you're going for a walk on the beach, then you can be clotheslined by them. So basically, if you are one of those people that does that, I aggressively do not like you and you should trip on a sandcastle.
Wow.
Change your ways.
Trip
yeah.
on a sandcastle, Taylor.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You're going to say, I hope a spoon breaks your garbage disposal.
Oh, that's isn't
that good?
That is mean.
Well,
that is good.
I hope you wake up with just an unexplainable sadness that you never get over.
Oh. Okay, anyway, what else can I do, Taylor?
Okay, the other thing is if you're bleeding, don't go in the water. They'll smell it. They'll go towards it.
Okay,
think
so
you're
periods?
A tasty snack.
Question mark?
I mean, try not to like free bleed in the ocean, I guess.
Try not to
I
have
free bleed
a period.
Everywhere.
Don't if you're a woman, don't get in the water.
Don't.
Again.
If you're a woman, just don't. Don't be.
Just don't. Okay, but I think, honestly, I think all of those are kind of a given. But if you find your way in the ocean and you're staring a shark in the face, keep doing that. What they like to do is they like to circle you and they like to get you from behind, like a little goose from behind, you know? So it's advised that you just try and stay facing it and slowly swim backwards. So be practicing your Frogger staring contests and stuff. Lastly, and like typically they'll just go away if that happens. But if they do get you, all I can say to do is fight back. Try and go for the gills, go for the eyes, literally wherever. They often get, they're like, oh, this is too much of a struggle. I just don't even feel like eating you. You're kind of too hard to eat. So then they might move on. But yeah, so basically just don't get in the water. That's long story short.
Great advice.
You're welcome.
I guess maybe I should work out some so I can be stronger. Because I feel like if I fought back against a shark, it wouldn't really do much. And I don't really have full control of my limbs, so I need to get better aim.
Well, when I was a kid, my mom always said, you know, she didn't ever want us going in deeper than like our belly button. But this one day I got a little too deep, me and my older sister. And this, I'm telling you, it was a shark. I don't know what kind. I wasn't well versed in the breeds at the time. But I got a little tangled up in a giant shark-like fish.
Oh, no.
And, yeah. And basically, I just got like tangled up with it and it like hit me on the back with its fins. And I had like a bruised back and like red marks all over my back. It was like really scary. It's very
but
traumatizing.
It just left you alone?
I didn't get bitten, but I like it was like with its tail.
Do you want to know something that white people do sometimes?
Yeah.
I'm sure I already know. That's wrong.
Well, I was talking to someone I know. And they told me that when they were younger, they went to a movie screening that was on the water of where Jaws is set. Basically, they got to watch the movie on floaties with like a big projector inside of the water. And they had actors going around in the ocean with shark fins. And they would scare you in scary moments.
I don't like that. That's weird.
Gabby, would you partake?
I think I would like to be the person who's scaring. Like, I would wear the costume and, like, creep up on people. I think I would do a good job at that.
You would. I think you would be good at that.
Yeah. I'm a proud creeper, so that seemed like the profession for me.
All right. Well, at any rate, be careful out there. There are sharks. Don't worry. It's not super likely to happen, but
we're just fear mongering right now. Those exactly. Shark attacks are on the rise steadily from 1900. So
they are. However, the reason that they're on the rise is not global warming. We can't blame global warming for this one. It's because of tourism. There's more people in the oceans, therefore more chances that people will get.
It looks like there's attacked. Too many people. I think we need a plague.
Oh wait.
Anyway, sorry. That was honestly a terrible joke.
Well, but you know what? I think that was a great segue to then tell our listeners why they should be afraid of fairies.
That's a terrible segue, actually.
Just be afraid.
It's a segue nonetheless.
I am afraid.
I want our listeners to know that, yeah, we're fear-mongering, but that is kind of like the premise of the show. But really, you're probably safe, you know? You're probably going to be okay. Except for
you're probably going to be okay until you actually die. These are just ways that you could die.
Yeah, these are just some, absolutely, like your poo-poo platter of death. Anyway, Nika, let's hear about these fairies.
Yeah. Also, the pandemic is nothing to make light of, but sometimes we made light of things to somehow cope with them. Okay. Fairies. Yes. I'm a big fan of all silly... Actually, I'm going to take that back. Not silly things, because I actually very much respect the forces, the invisible forces that surround us. I just love learning about these things. Exactly. So, I say we, skip on down to 2014.
Okay.
And we're skipping. At this cottage in, and I can't believe I'm going to say this, but for the first time, I am sorry for my pronunciation if it's terrible. Ballinagara Bog in Lixnaw, Ireland. It is this small village in West Ireland, and this teeny tiny white cottage in this bog is owned by the county. You know, it has this like long winding dirt road, and it has lots of overgrown brush. And this cottage has been abandoned for about 7 years. It has had 5 residents in the past 25 years, and every single one of them has died under mysterious or random/strange circumstances. According to legend, this house is haunted by violent fairies.
Oh, no. That's not the good kind
now,
of fairy.
As I said, exactly. Well, let's just eradicate the notion of a good or a bad fairy, okay? Like, they are very complicated beings.
Oh, you're right. That's a good... Yeah, I take it back, too, because I also think with people, there's no such thing as, like, good or bad or whatever.
It's exactly.
So you're right. I'm sorry I applied that to another species. A real species of things.
Yeah. There you go, Gabby. Yeah. So here's the tea. First of all, I wanted to say this to anyone or anything listening. I have a lot of respect for the spiritual and the supernatural world. And we're just sharing this story about, sometimes they like to call themselves, or like for people to call them, the little people or the good folk. So we're just sharing these stories about these creatures. I mean, no disrespect, because I don't want to anger anything that doesn't need to be angered, you know?
Yeah, we respect you.
In case they're listening.
Yeah.
Yeah, just in case they're listening. Anyway, now according to Eddie Lenihan, who is this professional Irish storyteller and fairy lobbyist, he advocates for the rights of fairies, the house, the cottage, probably was built on a fairy path or a funeral path or a fairy fort, which is basically this prehistoric circular settlement made of like stone or earth. You find them a lot in Ireland and in Britain and in Germany. And he basically says that building on a fairy path is a major mistake because fairies do not like their sacred paths to be disturbed. And
well, yeah, they're taking their land.
Exactly, yeah. And essentially, fairy paths are sacred because it's the only way that fairies can get to where they're going. It's kind of like a highway. And so when you disturb their path, they have to figure out like a new route to go on. And then it's not very easy. Those have been there for centuries, you know? So if you just drop a cottage on there or, you know, build something new over there, they're probably going to get mad. And when they get mad, they kind of get violent. And what's interesting is this
get
is...
even.
Yeah, exactly. Get mad, get even. So this is actually a super common belief in Ireland, which I think is very interesting, especially in the rural areas. And a lot of it is associated or derived from Celtic folklore. There are ways, and still to this day this happens, that farmers and landowners protect themselves against accidentally angering fairies. Like some builders, they will stick a spade or a set of rocks in a particular formation on the land they're planning to build on, and they wait one night, and then if the spade or if the rocks are still there, it is okay to build on. But if they've moved, then construction immediately stops.
Wow.
Which is fascinating. And this woman, yeah, and this woman also in 2014 reported that she was going over her property portfolio with her banker, and she just had like some land owned by her family, and she just wanted to go over it with her bank manager. And the manager asked her if there were any fairies on her property, like an actual like banking question.
And that was that's like a part of the questionnaire.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Which I just find so interesting. Like, what do you reply to that? I don't know.
Well, you answer the question, Nika. Yes or no?
I don't know.
This just makes me think that I'm just like, what if we had this amount of respect for like real people? You know?
Can you imagine?
I can't. I can't imagine what that would be like.
Yeah, and it's actually super fascinating. There was this case one time that our very own fairy lobbyist was a part of, where there was a known fairy fort, and it was a place seen as sacred to the good people. The city or the county will actually protect it. And this happened in 1999. This 100 million pound highway bypass was being built in Latoon, Ireland, and it was going to demolish what our fairy lobbyist called a sacred fairy bush. He said that fairies would go there often, and it was like a fort for them, and it was very spiritual and special. And our friend Eddie literally warned the government that if they built over the bush, there would be dire consequences. Things like constant car accidents or really bad luck or just random deaths around the area would start happening. He kind of threatened the government, question mark. okay.
I mean, it's not him, it's the
and
fairies.
And the government listened.
Could you imagine in America if we did that? Like, what would the government say? They'd be like,
I don't know. I mean, we could always try. Like, oh my gosh, like in Parks and Rec, when the Native American character is like, and now we will curse you until you fix this. And the white people are like, oh my God, I don't want to get cursed. Anyway, they listened. And he and some people in the community actually rallied around preserving the bush. And the council found a way to work around it and fence the bush in, so the bush would like never be touched by like construction or vandalism or anything like that.
That's
which is
so nice.
Just fascinating. Yes.
Protect
yes.
the bush, so, baby.
Protect the bush. Not during my Brazilians, though. Mm-mm. Anyway, in our haunted cottage, as I said, it's been abandoned for about 7 years now. There were five people that died strangely there. So the first person who lived there actually fell asleep while smoking a cigarette and then died of smoke inhalation. And then another person, this is bad, hung himself and he was found by his neighbors. Mm. And then another died in this random car accident, just like strange, weird, you know, just out of nowhere kind of things. And then another got stabbed in a different city. I think it was in Wales. And then the most recent is kind of like the most convoluted one and scariest probably. She was murdered in one of the bedrooms.
Oh jeez. No.
Yeah.
And so
by her son.
Oh.
Yeah. She was 62, and according to authorities and what I found, she was killed by her autistic teenage son who lived with her. And I think he's now, or he was back then, I don't know where he is now, but he's in a psychiatric hospital. So.
Wow.
It's like, is that all a coinky dink, you know? Like, those were the last five people who lived in that house?
Yeah. So, a lot of people in that small town are asking the government to tear down the cottage, basically, because they think it has something to do with weird, unexplained phenomena. And Ireland is, again, like, so strong with, like, Celtic association and fairies and stuff like that, that they just think it's, like, fairies putting a curse on these people.
Wow.
That's...
The government has not made a decision yet, so I think they're still thinking about it.
They're still pondering. I mean, I think that, like, once it comes to a point where, like, so many people, like, so many strange things like that, you know, have happened in one area, we should just, you know, there's something going on there. We should just let it, you know, let it be. Let's not, nobody lived there. Let's just protect ourselves and protect the people that may be there.
Start fresh, you know?
Yeah.
Just tear it down.
I mean, whether or not it's fairies, it just has, usually people don't like living in places where someone has died recently, you know?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. It's like after five people, like there's definitely not good vibes going on there. So we should just like.
So even if you don't believe in fairies, you got to believe in vibes.
Exactly.
Well, it's true. Like, I mean, would you want to live somewhere if you know that someone's died there? Maybe that was the little people's plan all along.
Mm-hmm. The good folk.
All right. When we come back, we'll talk about some more fairy tales.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
What if we told you about a major breakthrough on awesome savings on all-inclusive beach vacays?
OMG, this could break the case.
Case? I'm talking about CheapCaribbean.com. It's full of hot savings. At CheapCaribbean.com, score an extra $175 off site-wide on vacations of four nights or more now through June 3rd. A swim-up bar in Punta Cana or dip your toes in the sand on the shores of Cancun.
We gotta take this show on the road.
Start at CheapCaribbean.com.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Okay, welcome back, all you cadaver gals.
And pals.
So I did a little dive into this Irish folklore, if you will. And these little people are also called Dana She or She or Sheed. So the Dana She is actually the proper terminology. And it's actually offensive to call them fairies.
Oops. I literally knew it. That's why I did that PSA, because I was like, I just want to say.
But let me tell you why.
I don't want to anger anyone.
But let me tell you why. It's because it's like in implying this like Tinkerbell type, that like these, you know, dainty little things with wings that are like, you know, wearing short skirts and whatnot. Like, that's just not the case. Well, it's not. Why did you look at me
like
that?
Because I just made a face that was like, well, we don't. Is there a case?
According to my research, okay, that is not the case.
They wear long skirts.
Right. They wear long skirts and pants and whatever they want because, you know,
they don't need to adhere to the beauty standards of our society.
Exactly. Anyway, so they are actually believed to be fallen angels, and they inhabit the air as warriors in the waters and land, or the subterranean, and those are the ones that are a little bit closer to hell, therefore a little bit more mischievous, if you know what I mean.
Oh, I know what you mean.
Mm-hmm. They're mm-hmm. very...
I actually don't doubt that, Gabby.
As Nico was saying, they're very respected because it's said that they have these darts, and these darts are... they can shoot you with, and they either can cause harm or luck. And they're very protective of their lands, and they were believed to cause death to those who try and mess with their homes or, like, you know, just general bad fortune. So today is St. Patrick's Day, as we all know. So leprechauns are actually a part of this fairy world, and sadly, they are kind of known to be the defective fairy children.
Rude.
That is so offensive.
They're defective fairy children.
That's just what I read, okay? They are the bankers and the cobblers of the fairy world. Bankers because of the gold, and cobblers because, you know, they make shoes. And also, this is also a really sad fact, is there are no lady leprechauns, so they cannot procreate. Maybe that's why they're
grumpy. Okay, wait, so how are they here? That's my question.
Because they're the defective fairy children. So they're still fairies, or the Dana She.
They had like a birth defect in their fairy mom's womb.
Something like that, yes. And originally they were known to wear red, but somehow like it morphed into green. But we will come back to that. So often they're depicted as grumpy. Maybe they're sexually frustrated. Who knows? Well, anyway, so they also have cousins called the Cluricon, and they often get confused with leprechauns, which if you come across a leprechaun and you call them a Cluricon, they will be incredibly offended.
I literally pray that I never come across anything like this. Truly. One time as a child, I prayed and prayed and prayed that I would see my guardian angels. And then when I realized that I maybe could, I literally was like, I take it back, God. I was like sobbing my eyes out, like clawing my eyes. I was just like closing them, so scared, in a bathtub. Not unlike Gabby right
yeah,
now,
recording
actually.
In my bathtub.
Gabby's listener,
in
the bathtub. Yeah, Gabby is recording from the bathtub.
There's construction.
So anyway, the Cluricon live in wine cellars, and they are known to be the drunks of the Dana She. And if you leave your alcohol unattended, they'll drink it.
And oh, I don't be leaving it unattended. It's tended
exactly.
to.
And if you piss them off, they'll make your food go bad or even fight you, which could even put you in the hospital. So apparently they're very strong, too. So for sure, you don't want to piss them off. Also, if you're like, you know, I'm tired of my alcohol being drunk by someone else, like I'm going to go somewhere else. Okay, so there's actually no escaping them either. If you leave, like if you move, they'll follow. But I will say, if you have one living in your house, then maybe that means you have good taste in alcohol.
Oh.
Or you have a problem. Like... maybe you're an alcoholic, question mark.
I mean, you can have alcohol in the house, like nice alcohol in the house, but it doesn't mean you're an alcoholic. But it might look like it if the Cluricon's drinking it. But anyway.
Though I think this is just another great case for sobriety.
That or like a great cover up for if you have alcoholism, be like, it's the Cluricon.
Well, my $5 wine and I are going to be fine. Yeah. I don't think that they're looking for that.
That Gabby gives to you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Gabby just gets me the worst wine.
I do.
Oh, no. All right. So anyway, today it is said that there are 236 leprechauns still in Ireland today. Apparently, there was a guy in 1989 who heard screaming, went to check it out, and there was like this burn spot on the ground. And that's where he found this like little hat, jacket, pants, and 4 coins. And so now it is assumed that there's this like naked leprechaun running around, which people have been searching for. There's been like an increased number of locals and tourists in the area, which is part of the reason why they were protecting these Dana She, is because they were basically just being pestered by locals trying to find them or tourists as well. So there you have it. Leprechauns, don't get them confused with Cluricons. They are a part of the fairy family, but please call them the Dana She instead.
Who is doing the census for the leprechauns? Like 236 is such a specific number. I just wonder how we came up with that.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay.
I'm going to go with, it has to do with, like, as you were talking about earlier, these areas that have been protected and, like, reported on. I think that they're probably not immortal. I don't know.
They probably got different lifespans. You know, they're unique creatures. Yep. And totally real, 100%. 100%, you know.
Exactly. So,
what a creature episode.
I know. I was going to say, I'm not really sure what we learned in this episode. You know, the ocean is scary. You can get eaten by a shark. And actually, just be respectful of all people. Right? The end things.
I love that. This is like Sesame Street.
Of other people's territories, like shark territory.
Yeah. Or, yeah, shark territory, Dana She territory, you know. What am I trying to say? I don't know.
Yeah, maybe like don't steal land from people. But don't alas. Steal land.
Don't be an asshole.
Don't be an asshole.
Sending this to, who's that guy that colonized everything?
Christopher Columbus.
The alleged.
That guy.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. Yeah. Also, just like don't go in the ocean and don't go to Ireland.
You can go to Ireland. Just be really respectful and don't go looking for the Dana She because, you know, they have feelings too.
Yeah, they'll come to you. Their people will call your people.
Yeah, great.
Exactly. Well, this has been yet another fascinating episode of Cadaver Gals. See you next time.
Cadaver Gals!
Cadaver Gals is a production of School of Humans and iHeartRadio. It is hosted, produced, mixed, researched, all kinds of things by Gabby Watts, Nika Duarte, and Taylor Church. You can also follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Cadaver Gals.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
What if we told you about a major breakthrough on awesome savings on all-inclusive beach vacays?
OMG, this could break the case.
Case? I'm talking about CheapCaribbean.com. It's full of hot savings. At CheapCaribbean.com, score an extra $175 off site-wide on vacations of 4 nights or more now through June 3rd. A swim-up bar in Punta Cana or dip your toes in the sand on the shores of Cancun.
We gotta take this show on the road.
Start at CheapCaribbean.com.